Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, you look back at the Duluth weekend. Especially Saturday night, you score on that first shot. Playing with the lead this time of the year is even more important than early on in the season, isn't it?
I don't know. It's always important, Schultze. I mean, I don't think you can say any time of the year is any different than the other time. It's just you have to get it done, and you're going to play with leads. You're going to be playing down, and the bottom line is at the end of the day, it's the game's about trying to win the game. And, you know, it's not easy. I mean, the other team always has a say in it, and again, it's always kind of a little bit – I don't want to use the word the kiss of death, but scoring an early goal is awesome. It's a good feeling, but it also, like, sometimes too, it can inject the other team, that's for sure.
You guys score real late then in the second to get back within striking distance. That is a beyond important goal at that point of the game, wasn't it?
100%, Schultze. And I told the guys, we won some games in that building. I mean, we've been down, and I don't have it all. You have to throw the stats in front of me, but I think they were for sure a three-goal game. I know we were down 5-2 one year going into the third, and we won in overtime. And the other game, I think it was either two or three goals back. So we've won some games in, you know, and that was the old deck, but I'm talking in Duluth. We've won some games playing from behind. And, you know, a two-goal lead, you know, is not easy to maintain. And we popped the third goal, and it's a whole new world. Like I said, give ourselves a chance to pull that goaltender or get a power play or whatever to tie that thing up. So, but again, it just wasn't meant to be.
You know, obviously, you'll take goals whenever you can get them, as early as you can get them. But perfect world, first 5 minutes of that third period to get it to within one, it's almost ideal, right?
Oh, and you bet, Schultz. I mean, in that particular situation, in that particular instance, yeah, you want to score early, absolutely, because the longer it goes. I think momentum shifts over there, and too psychologically, sometimes it can be difficult for the guys on the bench.
When you're down one as opposed to two in the third, how much earlier are you thinking of end of game? When do we pull them when you're down two instead of one?
Well, I mean, it's probably, it used to be like one goal a minute. Now it's like one goal for 2 minutes. So, you know, if you're down one, you're thinking at 2:10, 2:15, 2:20, maybe 2.5, and some of it's predicated on if you have an offensive zone faceoff. You're now in two, you're talking anywhere between 3, 3.5 to 4 to maybe even an offensive zone faceoff with 4 minutes to go. So, and then you got to sit there and factor in, how are we doing? Are we, you know what, are we possessing the puck? Are we winning a lot of, and how's our forechecking doing? Are we winning a lot of battles? And that also can play with, that can also play with your head as a coach on when you should pull the goaltender. So there's a lot of things that play into it, but a lot of it's just going to be a gut feeling.
In a perfect world, are you pulling a goalie at a media timeout or a stoppage? Or do you want to, if you can, have a timeout in your back pocket yet for that kind of situation?
In a heartbeat, you want to bat, you're spot on, Schultze. You want a timeout in your back pocket. Conversely, you also are hoping that media timeout at 4 to 4.5 minutes. I think we had one because the game had pretty good flow. There wasn't a lot of whistles in that third period on Saturday night. But there was a media timeout, I think, with high threes or low fours left. So that helped. It helped us as well. So then you can at least, you know, just obviously get your guys together and just say, hey, when we pull them, you know, here's our structure, here's what we want to do on a one face-off, here's what we want to do on a lost face-off. Just, again, a lot of the reminders to the guys.
More with Coach Ceratori when we come back. Our Budweiser pregame show continues right here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Ceratori. Back in the league play, Tom, it's somewhat hard to believe. 7 weeks is all that's left in the regular season, and this time of year goes by in the blink of an eye, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It goes quick, and, I wish we had a bye second half, but we don't. It's just the way the schedule played out, so we got to go straight through.
Games against BG are going to have to be played a little differently, just their style and how they play, especially in this rink. You got so many young guys that are playing in their first, or I shouldn't say young, inexperienced playing in this building. How long does it take those guys to get used to the pace of play and just how much there is a lack of low play just because the puck doesn't stay down there?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's a good question. Everybody's different. And the biggest thing is that, you know, I can prepare our team for is that just expect the unexpected, and that's the biggest thing. It's like a pinball machine. Things happen fast. I mean, I said today, even, I mean, the end walls are hard. The goal line area, I mean, the dasher boards are, it's like Hot Wheels, like the Hot Wheels, you know, like the Indy 500, how you just pick up speed around the corners. And there's just a lot of nuances of this rink that are unique. And the biggest thing is that play a simple game, but it's still hockey. Outwork them, you know, outthink them. You know, make sure you're in. Make sure you're playing in front of the net. Make sure you're playing inside. Get expected. You know, be expected to get hit. Make sure that you're physical. There's just a lot of things. Just the bottom line is, you know, you're going to have to outwill your opponent at times, and that's the mindset you want your team to have.
Staple of Beaver hockey over the years is a low cycle in the offensive zone. It's hard for that to happen here. Can you still do that just slightly above the net and above the goal line?
Well, when you do a cycle here, in my opinion, you're doing it as a bailout. You're pressured. There's no other options. You're just doing it to get the puck, and then you got to get it back. But you're not gonna be productive on any type of offense off a cycle. Not a chance. And so, you know, I don't talk to our team a lot about that. I might as the game goes on, but we haven't said, "Oh, don't cycle the puck," because there's times you got to cycle the puck, and it's more of just a bailout again, like I said, for our team. But you take a look at, you know, how Bowling Green plays, and we've worked at it too all this week, is that everything, even all rebounds and all missed, if you miss far side, puck goes right to the defenseman. And there's times too that the puck will just squirt out and it goes right to the forward on puck recovery, then he goes right low to high. And that's what Bowling Green does, and they know their rink. They go right low to high, where sometimes that, in our rink, we'll cycle it. So biggest thing is we'll have to get some clips or have good recognition during the game if there's times that our guys have good puck recovery that could have went low to high, but they might have cycled the puck themselves and it obviously was the wrong play. But I don't want to – you better watch how you – you don't want to overcoach early. It's still hockey. That's the biggest thing coaches can do, Schulze, is they can overcoach. And I think what you need to do is you have to set a few ground rules, let them play, and then obviously make those modifications as the game goes on.
With so little space back behind the net defensively on a breakout, what do your guys have to do differently or better maybe than they'd have to in a normal situation?
Well, they're not going to be able to break the puck out. It's not going to be traditional breakouts. There's going to be a lot of goaltender touches because everything funnels to the goaltender. Now, is the goaltender going to get the puck behind the net, or is the goaltender going to get the puck above the goal line? If he gets the puck behind the net, he's just going to have to rim it. There's just no room for anything else unless there's a line change and there's obviously more time, but that's different too. And then if he gets it above the goal line, our defensemen are going to have to split out. So you're just going to have to let this play out too. It's just it's non-traditional. It's unconventional. It's an unconventional weekend, that's for sure.
How much of their offense just flat out runs through Swankler?
Well, a lot of it. I mean, he's dangerous. He's got, I think, 34 points, and he's a heck of a player on the power play. So a lot of it go. But they got deep offense. I mean, they got a lot of fifth year guys who scored a lot of goals. They got a lot of points in college hockey. Grisak, you know, Schneider, you know. Barber. I mean, those guys have, you know, they've generated a lot of offense over the years, you know, and they're getting mileage off of, you know, some juniors with Scardina. You know, O'Hara's having a good sophomore year, so, you know, Wozny's coming to his own on the back line.